All right, let's go to the book of Ruth. Ruth. And I'll just go to Ruth chapter 2, I guess, to start with. We're going to continue our little mini series and on this thing on the book of Ruth. And we'll review a little bit just to bring up speed. If you haven't listened to the other two and you want to get into the context of it, you know, just listen to them. They're pretty short. I think it's like 17 minutes, 15 minutes each, something like that. But we're in the book of Ruth, and we're really focusing on some things that happened and an overview of it. And some of the things that we can learn spiritually might even encourage us and help us. You know, one of the things about life is expectation. If you ever had to work with customers, customer service, business, any kind of thing where people have, they buy a product or they buy, especially buy a service, expectation is a great deal part of life. In other words, what you expect out of it versus what you get out of it. And it's interesting when you watch people. Like, I know you've heard, most of you probably heard the phrase, you know, promise low, deliver high. Well, I coined a phrase a couple times, and I'm sure it's not the first time somebody's used it. I didn't hear it somewhere else, but I was like, instead of say promise low, which seems negative, it's, I say promise less, deliver more. And the idea is that when you promise a little bit less, but you deliver a little bit more, you've gone beyond people's expectation, and it's healthy and good for business for them. As a Christian, it's important to know what to expect out of the Christian life. Now, I believe that we're to be overcomers and positive. We're more than conquerors, etc. I believe in Semper Fidelis, you know, always faithful. Semper Paratus, always prepared. Semper Anticus, always forward. And so we have to understand that he says in 2 Timothy, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. We have to understand all the verses that say, he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, and the things which are not seen are eternal. And the verses just go and go and go. Those are just like off the top of my head, not because I've got this great Bible memory, but over the years, they become a part of how we think. Okay? And so, we talked about the time of the judges, the setting of this book, the time of the judges, when every man was doing that right in their own eyes. We talked about the travels, when they were trying to survive the famine, and so they ended up down in Moab. We talked about, you know, what that led to. First thing that happens is the dad dies, her husband dies, and then the boys marry, and about 10 years later, they die. So you've got this mother-in-law who's an Israelite, and you've got these two Moabite women who are daughters-in-law, and she tries to talk him into staying, and she does her best to talk him into staying in Moab while she's headed back to Israel, and that's because of God's timing. But the tragedies in between there, so the time, the travels, the tragedies, prepared them, prepared Ruth and Naomi for what was about to happen. And then in Ruth's life, there was a tipping or turning point. And that tipping or turning point was when she decided that she would make the God of Naomi her God, the God of Israel her God, that she would claim the people of Naomi to be her people. You say, well, how do you get that out of that? Thy people shall be my people, thy God my God. Chapter 1, verse 16. See, for all the things that people try to say, well, Naomi came back and she said, call me bitter. I'd hate to see what you would do if you went through what she went through. I reckon she came through before God with flying colors. I tell you, I know a guy who came through with flying colors, and about 9 out of 10, if not 99 out of 100 preachers, pick on him, and that's Job. You know, God didn't rebuke Job for what he said in pain. All he rebuked Job for was, come on up higher, come up higher. You got to think, you read the whole book of Job, read the overview that way, and you'll see it. Why do you think he bragged on Job? Why do you think he told the three friends, you know, unless you can get Job to pray for you, you're hurting. And then Job humbled himself and prayed for them and realized that even though they were miserable comforters, they themselves needed a break. And so when we look at this, then we see that turning a tipping point. And the last time we looked at the timing of God's hand. I'm talking about the famine being lifted and the fact that food was needed and that she went out and found favor. And they, you know, the family tie is revealed and resurrected while she's finding that favor of food. and then the fullness beyond her beginning is about to happen. Now, I'm going to take some time in this one, and we're going to look at the technicalities in God's leading. Now, when I say technicality, some people think, oh, like nitpicking stuff. No. He said, not one jot or tittle shall fall or pass away of the Word of God. That's like dotting an I in our English language and crossing a T. That's how little they are. In Hebrew, that yod and that tau, that's what it is. And so the picture is that God doesn't lose out the technicalities. Let's take nowadays, modern time. Let's take passwords. Some of the stuff I do, you know, like inspecting and stuff, you have to have your stuff is guarded and password. And so the website requires you to have a capital and then letters and then a number and then a symbol. And you got to change it every 90 days. You ought to try to keep track of that. And guess what? If you get just one wrong, it don't work. And maybe you've never been locked out of something, but I've seen people get locked out of it, and it was a hassle to get back in it. Those are technicalities, but they're not. They're essential, see? You think about a sentence, a missed comma or semicolon or something, can change the whole meaning of a sentence. And I realize nowadays people are lazier and lazier with text, and I get that. I understand that. And, you know, it's not like the end of the world, but it is important for us. I'll give you an example. I think that when necessary, God will use his fingerprint, you know, like your thumbprint, and his retina scan, and he gets down to the nitty-gritty details and helps us with the details. I really believe God is in the details. Not finicky, like people are, you know, fighting over the date of when something happened in the Bible and all that. God uses the word about many times when he's talking about age and timing and dates. But the technicalities. Now, what do you mean by technicalities? Well, watch what happens here. So they go down to Moab. You ready for this? Watch. They go down to Moab, and everything's kind of okay. They're trying to survive the famine, and boom, the husband dies, the dad dies. So then the boys figure, well, this famine's going on, and they're going to carry on the famine, so they marry these Moabite girls. And it says about 10 years later, no children happen, and all of a sudden, they're gone. The boys. Now, I don't know if you realize it, but those little things of how the order of things. And then there's more to it. Ruth cleaves to Naomi. Naomi comes back to the land, and she has a near kinsman of her husband's. Okay? And Ruth goes out and randomly, her hap, your Bible says, it happened to her, happenstance. She randomly goes, and she is going to glean for the sake of her and her mother-in-law. And lo and behold, what happens? She not just gleans in his field, but he takes note of her. Let's take another technicality. She is a Moabite. Now, she can become a proselyte, and she can choose to join up with the religion of the God of Israel and all that. But she's still a Moabite when it comes to family tree. So much so that when you get over into chapter 3 and they are looking, you know, what is God doing? And they begin to talk about it. They find out that she has two near kinsmen. And so Boaz tells her, you know, if the closest one doesn't take advantage, then I will do it. Another technicality. See, when I'm talking about the technicalities in God's leading, there are so many things. You and I sometimes see a technicality as an obstacle. Men many times see a technicality as an inconvenience. Let's take things like the service industry. Let's take mechanicing, carpentry, you know, electrical, any of those things. There's a sense in which the average man hates any kind of paperwork or any of that, but it's essential. The technicalities are essential in many things. You know, when I was taking flying, my instructor was an easy going, you know, just laid back guy. But when it came to certain technicalities, he was a stickler. He'd been flying for probably 35 years, was still alive. That's a good sign. Okay? Had all his limbs, both his eyes, and, you know, hadn't crashed and beat himself up. Every time we flew, he'd reach in that little glove box, pull it out, and it had this little laminated card that had been there ever since that old Cessna 150 had been made. And we did a pre-flight routine every single time. We never, ever, ever skipped it. We did it by the letter. Now, I've worked in industry where, as drivers, we and delivering things, let's say propane. You know, it's got plenty of danger to it. And you do your pre-trip routine. You better, because you never know when something might be not just right. I remember one time when a propane dealer next door to where I was doing some painting, we smelled propane and we went out there and no one was there at the place and they ran their trucks on propane and one of the valves had started leaking and they didn't have a safety check like you're supposed to have on it. And it was leaking propane, which is very, very dangerous. Propane is heavy and it gathers. So the little technicality of making sure that that system had a check valve on it, it might seem like a little technicality, you know, a little law, is pretty important. Technicalities. The technicalities in God's leading are many times the key. When you get to chapter 3, and so she gleans in the field, and we've talked about that, and she comes back. And when all this starts coming to pass, for example, in chapter 2, look at this with me in verse 19. And her mother-in-law said unto her, "Where hast thou gleaned today? And where wroughtest thou? Blessed be he that did take knowledge of thee." And she showed her mother-in-law with whom she had wrought and said, ready, this is not going to mean a thing. Not going to mean a thing necessary to Ruth, but it's going to mean something to Naomi. "The man's name with whom I wrought today is Boaz." And I would imagine Ruth was a little surprised by the reaction she's about to get. And Naomi said unto her daughter-in-law, Blessed be he of the Lord, who hath not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead." And Naomi said unto her, "The man is near of kin unto us, one of our next kinsmen." Naomi had no future. Naomi had no light at the end of the tunnel. And now it's like God turns on a light and says, "Oh yeah, the little technicality, where I was gleaning today, the guy's name is Boaz. Does that mean anything to you, Naomi?" She's like, "Yeah, it does." And so in chapter 3, she starts telling her what to do and to present her case to Boaz. Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said unto her, "My daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee?" So what we find is that here is the mother-in-law with an out-of-the-land Moabite daughter-in-law. And God just keeps opening one thing after another. He's connecting the dots, we say sometimes. Verse 2, "And now is not Boaz of our kindred, with whose maidens thou wast? Behold, he winnoweth barley." So she tells her what to do. Now look at verse 5 with me. You ready? Look. "She said unto her, All that thou sayest unto me, I will do." There is a great value in knowing to whom we should allow influence and then allow them to influence us. When I read that, I immediately think of the marriage in Cana, wedding in Cana, when Mary, the mother of Jesus, says to them about Jesus, her son, "Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it." Whatever he tells you to do, she has no idea what he's going to tell him to do. Whatever he says to you, do it. There's a sense that God begins to work when we leave the technicalities to him. Now, it doesn't mean that when it's time. I've had to do where you had mounds of paperwork and mounds of technicalities that you had to fill out to get visas for a foreign country long term. Mounds of it. I mean, paper after paper and every single detail. And sometimes you'd get sent back if there was just one detail wasn't in order. So I understand that when God tells us to do something, we have to fulfill. We have to comply with those technicalities. But we got to leave a lot of them to God. So she leaves it to God. And then verse 18, well, Boaz is going down through that. And in verse 13, here's what Boaz says to her. Tarry this night, and it shall be in the morning, that if he will perform unto thee the part of a kinsman well, let him do the kinsman's part. But if he will not do the part of a kinsman to thee, then will I do the part of a kinsman to thee. As the Lord liveth, lie down until the morning. What did Boaz believe about this girl already? Look at verse 11. And now, my daughter, fear not. I will do to thee all that thou requirest, for all the city of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman. Now get this. He knew already, and all the people considered Ruth a virtuous woman. And in verse 12 he said, now it is true that I am thy near kinsman, however there is a kinsman nearer than I. Boaz knew the technicalities himself and said, I'll take care of this. And then he said, the will of God is according to how these things work out, these technicalities. Isn't it amazing when you look back in your life at the way God's led you? Isn't it amazing at the way in which God is, he takes care of the details? And I call it technicalities because they seem so little, you know what I mean? But they're the details of life. And here for these two people, Ruth and Naomi. And then, of course, we'll talk about it in the next time. The next time we're going to talk about the tenderness that can be overlooked. The tenderness of God is towards Naomi. The tenderness of God is towards Ruth. But the tenderness of God is towards Boaz. Boaz was honored and was blessed by fulfilling this near kinsmanship responsibility. He was blessed by it. And he was thankful for it. And we'll talk about that. For example, before I close, look at chapter 3, verse 10. And he said, blessed be thou of the Lord, my daughter. So this is Boaz speaking to Ruth. Blessed be thou of the Lord, my daughter, for thou hast showed more kindness in the latter end than at the beginning, inasmuch as thou followest not young men, whether poor or rich. Boaz is older. And God says, Boaz, and then he puts Boaz into the line of Christ on the male side, and he puts Ruth in there. Now, that's an amazing thing to me. The Bible is full of these little technicalities that point to the hand of God. Now, it's true that parting the Red Sea, that was God. Parting the River Jordan, that was God. Manna from heaven, that was God. But these little technicalities are God too. And we'll talk next time about the tenderness that can be overlooked. But in the next couple days or whatever, as you're going through life, acknowledge the technicalities that God's worked out for you. You didn't do it. It's not luck. We'll talk about if your name was L-U-C-I-F-E-R, Lucifer, and they nicknamed it, shortened it, it'd be L-U-C-I. Now, you could call it Lucy, or you might call it Lucky. That's just free. All right, let's pray. Father, we pray you'd help us, and we pray, God, that you would bless this time together. And I pray it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. I'll say this before I close. That doesn't mean if you slip up and use the word lucky, you're of the devil. Okay? All right. Thank you.